Well, it's a privilege for me to be here this morning at Moy River Baptist Church. I bring greetings from Bursley Baptist Church up in Kempton Park. It's always a great blessing to share God's word with God's people and to see how the Lord is building up His church in other places, and it's a joy to see what the Lord is doing here at Moy River Baptist Church. So we'll have the word of God from the 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Our focus this morning will be on three verses, from verse 9 to verse 11. But I'll read the whole of verse 1 up to verse 11 so that we can get the context of our text this morning. Hear now God's word from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 to 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now here's our text for this morning. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up as you are doing. This is the word of God. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, what a privilege to come to your word this morning to hear you speak to us. So Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, may you open up our eyes that we may see wondrous things out of your word. Lord, we pray that what we do not know, may you teach us. What we do not have, may you give us. Especially those who do not have faith this morning, may you grant faith to them. Lord, we pray for your blessing over your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now recently I watched an interview of a pastor from America, a very well-known pastor, who was leading a church for over 6 years, being a pastor of this church over 6 years, faithful ministry. But now the Lord has called him back to his home state to plant a new church. Now he's been at this church for 6 years, and now he's back to plant a new work, to start from scratch as it were. And they interviewed him and they asked him, what are the things that you will change as you start again? You've been at a church for 6 years, and now as you start again from scratch, what are the things that now you think you can focus on? I mean, you've learned, you've seen a lot of things. And he gave a very simple answer. I mean, this man is a theologian. He's very aware of everything that's going on. But he just gave a very clear answer. He said, from now on, as I start this new work, I'm looking to encourage God's people. I'm looking that God's people find encouragement in the gospel. And they asked him, why are you saying that? And he said, God's people go through so much. We have an enemy of the world, of the flesh, of the devil. And in a week's time, the Lord's people go through so much, so that when they come on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, they need encouragement. And what more encouragement we find than in the gospel? So this morning, our text this morning gives us encouragement. In verse 11, it says, therefore, encourage one another. So what Paul has been writing here throughout verse 1 up to verse 11, he's saying this text is here so that you may encourage one another. Now, some may think that maybe I don't need encouragement. Why are you saying I need encouragement this morning? Now, I'll say to you, there are two types of people who come to church on Sunday morning. There are those who are like a person who goes for a job interview. Now, if you're going for a job interview and you are in a waiting room, they're about to call you, here's what is happening to you, to yourself. You are looking to cover your weaknesses and your shortcomings so that when they interview you, you give the good account of yourself. So when you are waiting for a job interview, you are covering your weaknesses and shortcomings so that the one who's interviewing you does not see that. But a person who's in a waiting room for a doctor's office is in an opposite state with the other one. He's there because of their weaknesses and because of their shortcomings, and they are there to get healed. Now, when we come to the Lord and we come to church on Sunday, we need to ask ourselves, where do we fall? Do we come covering our weaknesses and shortcomings, or we come because we have weaknesses and shortcomings? And if we are true with ourselves, we should know that we have weaknesses and shortcomings. Therefore, we need God's word to encourage us. We need the gospel to lift us up again so that we may walk again with the Lord. Now, this text we are looking at this morning, Paul starts it off with answering the question of the day of the Lord. He starts in verse 1 and he says, now concerning the times and the seasons. Now, if you are familiar with Paul's letters, when he starts talking about now concerning, if you look in 1 Corinthians, he talks about now concerning the spiritual gifts. In other places, 1 Corinthians 10, now concerning the idols, he's answering what has been given to him. The Corinthians have written him a letter, and now he's answering back, and he's saying, now concerning what you've written to me, this is the answer. And same here, now concerning the times and the seasons, they've been asking him, the Thessalonians have been worried about the day of the Lord. What will happen when the Lord comes back in judgment? And he's writing, and he's saying, for you who are Christians in Thessalonica, you should not worry about the day of the Lord. He gives a contrast of two people here. He's saying, for the unbelievers, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. They will be saying, there is peace and security. People who are unbelievers, they think everything is going well. There is peace and the security, and Paul says, then sudden destruction will come. And it will be like a thief when no one is aware of. But then, for the believers, you are not in darkness. You are the children of light. You should not worry about the day of the Lord. In fact, you wait with joy, with faith, with love, and with hope. He says in verse 7, For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. We wait for the Lord's day, for the day of the Lord, with soberness, having put the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of hope of salvation. And then he gives a main reason of why we have love and hope and why we wait for the day of the Lord with soberness. For, that's a conjunction. He's making, this is why we can have hope of this day. When the Lord comes, in judgment, why should we have hope? For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we're going to look at three encouragements that we can find from these verses. Where can we find encouragement? And this text shows us that we can find encouragement in firstly, in verse 9, as it shows us, in what God has appointed us for. In what God has appointed to us. Secondly, in the fellowship we enjoy with the Lord. We'll see that in verse 10. And thirdly, in the fellowship we enjoy with one another. And we can find that in verse 11. So these are the three places that we can find encouragement. First, in what God has appointed to us, verse 9. Second, in the fellowship we enjoy in the Lord. We'll see that in verse 10. And third, in the fellowship we enjoy with one another. And we'll see that in verse 11. Now in verse 9, he says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now this should encourage you if you're a Christian this morning. For God has not destined you for wrath. Now this could not encourage you if you do not understand sin and if you don't understand God's wrath. But if you understand these two things, if you understand that we have sinned against God, if you understand that we stand guilty before God, and God does not tolerate sin, and there is anger towards him, sin, God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, and he is just to punish sin, and there is a day that is coming where his wrath will be poured out. If we read in Revelation 6 from verse 15 to says, it says, "Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountain rocks, 'Fall on us, hide us from the of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of wrath has come. Who can stand?'" This is where we are heading to. The day of the Lord. The day of wrath. Who can stand? And in the Psalms it says, "O Lord, if you count our sins against us, who can stand?" And God is just to punish sin against humanity. But it says here, for those of us who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have not destined for wrath. Praise be to God. This is the hope we have in the gospel. This is where we can find encouragement. We can say to one another, "Oh brother, oh sister, praise the Lord, you have not been destined for wrath." And then he gives us a flip side of that. He says, "But to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have not been destined for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. How has God done that? Why are we not destined for wrath? Is that when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that what has done on the cross, what God has done in Christ on the cross, he has taken the wrath of God that was due to us. We have sinned. We are the one who deserve that wrath, that anger of God, that punishment of God. But God has laid it upon him. God has laid it upon the Son. It pleased the Father to crush the Son. to pour out his wrath on him. Hours after hours after hours on the cross, the wrath of God be poured on the Son of God. The sinless one. The righteous one. Bearing the wrath of God for us. If we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that wrath has been absolved by the Lord Jesus Christ for all his people. For all those who will put the faith on him. And if you're a Christian this morning, rejoice. Be encouraged. You have not been destined for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is not an encouragement if you're not a Christian this morning. If you are not a Christian this morning, and if you continue in sin, wrath will come upon you, brother or sister. If you are not a Christian this morning, the day of the Lord is not an encouragement to you. You will be like those in Revelation who are crying to the mountain, "Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb." But God in His mercy, even today, that you are here this morning, that you are here to be under the Word of God, what mercy! Surrender your life, repent, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this can be a promise to you. If you are not a Christian this morning, run to Christ. Run to Christ. Hide in His shadow. Flee from the wrath to come. And run to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can find encouragement in the fact that we have not been appointed for wrath. But we have been appointed salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, in verse 10, it says, "Who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him." We can find encouragement in the fellowship we enjoy with God. When our sins were forgiven, for everything that was that has happened on the cross, Christ dying for us, so that whether we are asleep or awake, we might live with Him. In other translations it says, we might have fellowship with Him. This is the means, this is the end of our salvation. This is where it's all about. Our sins have been forgiven so that we might have fellowship with God. We might have fellowship with the Creator of the universe. We can have access to God. Do we understand what a privilege it is that we can come and have fellowship with God? A holy God. But by the fact that our sins have been forgiven, we've been reconciled to God, we have access to God. When we're coming to pray, we can have confidence. Because there's nothing standing between us and God. That wall has been broken down, the veil has been torn. We have fellowship with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We can have communion with God. And we can find encouragement. We can find hope. Where would we be if we could not access God? Where would we be if we could not pray and God answer our prayer? But we have obtained salvation. The veil is torn. We can come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can come and worship God this morning and praise Him and give Him all the praises, knowing that He is with us today through the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are His people. This is encouraging. This is encouraging. We have not been destined to wrath, but to obtain salvation. And secondly, we have fellowship with God. Through the gospel, through what God has done for us in Christ. And this is good news for us. And thirdly, and this is the most important one, is that we have fellowship with one another. We can find encouragement. This is in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. And notice how Paul, how he puts this. He acknowledges that they've been continuing to encourage one another. He's saying, just as you are doing. You are doing this already. In verse 4, in chapter 4, verse 9, just the previous chapter, he says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that is indeed what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Paul is saying, if we are Christians this morning, God has started a work in us. Therefore, there is love amongst us. There is encouragement amongst us. Because if there's no love amongst us at all, therefore we need to worry if God is at work in us at all. If there is no love amongst us as Christians, if there's no encouragement amongst us in the gospel as Christians, we should think seriously. Is God working amongst us? But if we are Christians this morning, if we love the Lord, we should know that already there is love amongst us. It might not be where we want it to be, but it has started. There is encouragement amongst us. It might not be the way we want it to be, but it's starting. And this is very important for God's people, especially in a local church setting, that we need to understand that as a community of God's people, as God has planted us in this church, it is our duty to encourage one another in the gospel. We need to meet one another in homes. We need to have small groups. We need to have places, platforms, when we can come together, where we can meet in a restaurant or wherever with one another and say, brother, rejoice, you have not been destined for us. What a joy. I know things are tough. I know things are happening in marriages and in homes. But rejoice, the day that is coming, we can face it with joy. We have not been destined for us, but to obtain salvation. As we come this Sunday morning, this should not stop here on the pulpit. This is the work of God's people, to encourage one another. Paul is saying here, the day of the Lord is coming. It's bad news for unbelievers. It's good news for believers. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for salvation. Therefore, this is what this whole text is here for. Now, when you are looking at the therefore in the Bible, you should ask yourself, what is it there for? And here, he has explained all of this. All of this doctrine of the day of the Lord, so that we may encourage one another. If you read this whole passage and don't get the full message of this, of encouraging one another, you've missed this whole passage. Therefore, encourage one another. You know, when I was a young Christian, I grew up in a Christian home. My mother was a Christian. And when I went to high school, I rebelled against the Lord, and I did my own thing, and I grew up in a home where there were a lot of Christians coming in and out of the home. We'd have Christians coming to stay with us. And I saw a lot of good things. And at the same time, I saw a lot of bad things. Because Christians are not perfect. But as a kid growing up, there was a bit of resentment towards the church. To say, I mean, you have people who profess this, but sometimes they do certain things. And I went to university, I was, you know, not a Christian, until the Lord, in His grace, drew me and saved me. But when I joined this church, the first church that I was in, I was telling myself, I sort of made conditions with God to say, fine, I'm saved, but I've had an experience of church people, therefore, when I'm in this church, I won't have anything to do with anyone. I'm just going to come and sit at the back, hear the word and sing, and go out. I'm not staying, I'm not chit-chatting with anyone. I'm just coming in and going out. And I did that for maybe a couple of months or so. I didn't know people at the church. I didn't know anyone. But as I look back, I'm just thinking, I just did not understand salvation. I did not understand that when the Lord saves us, He plants us with His people. I did not understand the doctrine of the church. That together we are God's people, and there are a lot of one another's in the Bible. And if I'm just a solo Christian, I won't be able, I'm going to be disobedient to God's word, because I won't be able to do the one another's, because I don't have fellowship with God's people. Love one another. Pray for one another. Carry each other's burdens. Encourage one another. If you're a solo Christian, how are you going to do that? But as God's people, as we come together, we need to understand that we have a duty towards one another, to encourage one another in the gospel. The gospel is encouraging. Even as we come to the Lord's table is not just about remembering what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It is that. But there's a sense of participation. There's a sense of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with one another. We are coming to the Lord's table together. We are family, feasting on our Lord's table. And that should not just reflect here, it should reflect throughout the week as we call one another and check up on one another and encourage one another. So this is where we can find encouragement, brothers and sisters. That if you're a Christian this morning, praise God, He has not destined you for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, that you can have fellowship with God. You can have access to God. But thirdly, so that you may encourage one another just as you are doing. And I pray that you are doing that here at Moy River Baptist Church. And continue to do that. Continue to be encouraged in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are of Your Word. Lord, the gospel is such an encouragement to us. We get weary, we get discouraged, but Lord, through Your Word, You lift us up again. And You give us life again, You give us energy again, that we can carry on and preach the gospel and live out the life that is pleasing into Your sight. So Lord, we pray that this word this morning may be implanted in our hearts, that we may seek to encourage one another in the gospel, that we may rejoice and we may think deeply at the fact that we have not been destined for wrath. But Lord, I pray even for those this morning who are not believers. Oh Lord, have mercy on them. Open up their eyes that they may see the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may repent and put their faith in Him. Be with us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.